Jeremiah 25 in verse 13, and I will bring upon that land, and that is the kingdom of God, all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. Now that's a great big statement, you see, because God here is referring to the whole book of Jeremiah. And of course, that is simply a part of the whole Bible. You can't separate the book of Jeremiah from the whole Bible. But it's not only against those who are part of the church age or those who are part of national Israel, but it's against all the nations. God, every person in the entire world has to answer to God. Even though he's never heard the Bible, he's never read the Bible, nevertheless, he stands guilty of what is written in the Bible. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. That is, there could be of them or against them or with them. It really is dealing that they are, many nations are wicked, just like the churches have become wicked. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to their works, of their own hands. In other words, sin will be paid for. Then verse 15, for thus says Jehovah God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. Well, now, that's more than just Judah and Israel. So it's getting larger. All the nations to whom I send thee, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, Jehovah's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord hath sent me. Now from then on, God begins to list all of the nations. Now there are two kinds of nations that are named here. We'll see them as we go along. On the first kind are those that relate to the churches, like Judah and Israel, for example, Jerusalem. They are typifying the kingdom of God, or they are a picture of the kingdom of God in that day, externally, and they are typifying the church age, or those who claim to be Christians during the time of the New Testament era, because anyone who claims a relationship with Christ is also claiming a citizenship in the kingdom of God. And some of these nations that are named here could be talking about the churches, or they could be talking about the world in general. And we'll notice that as we go on. Verse 18, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof. Incidentally, when we go through this, we see, and the kings. And God comes against the kings. We read this in Revelation, where it talks about the kings. And normally, when God is using this, he's not talking about just the ruler. He's talking the king as representative of the whole nation. That if the king is spoken of, he's really speaking about all the people in that nation, that a king, a kingdom, one and the same. And so when we see all the kings of this and all the kings of that, he's speaking about all the peoples of that land. He starts out with Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. Why does he start out with them? Because judgment begins with the house of God. Remember 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Judgment begins with the house of God. That's the first place that we see the wrath of God coming down, and that's been going on in our day. There, as they are being, the churches are being prepared for their time during the day of judgment. And the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Now remember, this is being written during the time of the 70 years back then, when that was typifying this time when we're in that same, or the fulfillment of that 70 years, the 8400 day period of the Great Tribulation. And now he talks about in 19, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Pharaoh, that's a broad term, because Egypt is a heathen nation, much like Babylon is a heathen nation, and God's wrath is upon that heathen nation. But Pharaoh also ruled temporarily over Israel, and God speaks of Israel as Egypt. Remember in Revelation 11, when the two witnesses are killed, the bodies lie in that city that where the Lord was crucified, that's Jerusalem, which is called Sodom, and Egypt. Egypt. So Egypt wears two hats. We don't have to try to distinguish, though. We don't have to try to figure out, now, is he talking here about the churches, or is he talking about the world? The fact is, they're all under the wrath of God. There's no distinction, except that we know from many passages that judgment begins with the house of God, and we're going to see that here in this chapter 25 presently. Then it talks about all the mingled people and all the kings, that would be all the peoples of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Aza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod. These are cities in the land of the Philistines. Now, again, the Philistines, or the Canaanites, lived right adjacent to the nation of Israel, and at times when we read about them in the Bible, we suspect God really has in view the nation of Israel, who were so tied in with the land of Canaan, but we don't know, or we don't have to know. We know whether it's relating here to the churches or whether it's relating to the other nations outside. It makes no difference. They're all under the wrath of God. We have the same thing with Edom. Edom, as we go through the Bible, we find that invariably it is a picture of the churches of Edom, and because it particularly relates, because Edom came from whom? Esau. And who did Esau come from? Isaac. Isaac, who gave birth to twins, Jacob and Esau. And so he had the same mother, the same father as Jacob did, and Jacob is definitely the head of the Israelites. So when it talks about Edom, we know that definitely can be talking about all the local congregations who were typified by Edom. And Moab and Ammon also are very, very closely related to the nation of Israel. Why? Because they were the sons of Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham. So they enter into that same bloodline. And now the kings of Tyre and the kings of Zidon. Later on, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 27 and 28, there's language there that indicates Tyre and Zidon can be talking about the whole world, all the unsaved of the world, or it can be talking about the nation of Israel. The language, some of the language will allow that. But again, we don't have to try to figure that out. It's not important. It's the fact that the whole world is under the wrath of God. And then it goes, are the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea. That includes all the continents. In the Bible, when you read about isles or islands, it is speaking about all the continents of the world. It's the whole world. Dedan and Tema and Buz and all that are in the utmost corners. Again, a figure of speech to indicate the whole world is in view. God is really underscoring by various phrases here that the judgment of God, it comes on the whole world. Nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt unless we're a child of God. They, of course, are not included. And then it goes on, and all the kings of Arabia. And there again, it could imply the church age, because the kings of Arabia, the people of Arabia, are related to Abraham. they came through principally through Hagar and through Keturah, who were wives of Abraham, and so that there could be a combination there. But again, it's not important. It's just the fact that there's another area of the world. And then it goes on, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, this is all language to underscore that it's the whole world that's in view. And all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all, now here we find that God sums it up, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth. Now, there's no doubt, is there? God, in this chapter, and this is why I wanted to go to this chapter before we go on in Jeremiah 46, to indicate that the wrath of God comes equally on the whole world. There are no exceptions whatsoever. And after these, the king of Shishak shall drink. And we saw that in Revelation 20, that finally Satan himself, represented by the king of Shishak, which is another name for Babylon, he shall also be destroyed. His end will be exactly like mankind's. He will be totally annihilated. There'll be nothing left, and that'll be the last day of the day of judgment. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye, be drunken, and vomit, and fall, and rise no more. You see that? Rise no more. You're dead forever. You've gone. Arise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. Now, he's been talking about his final judgment upon the whole world. Rise no more. But here God just sums it up, and rise no more. And it shall be, now this is an interesting verse, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink, for lo, I begin to bring evil in the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Jehovah of hosts. Now, this is not a literal conversation that's going to take place, but it is explaining very clearly that God is not a respecter of persons. He is absolutely honorable in all that he does. And here are the people who claim to be citizens of the kingdom of God, who tried to follow the Bible but did it in their own way rather than in God's way, and they're the first ones. Judgment begins with the house of God. And if God is going to deal this way with his own people, because they are called God's people. When we are a part of a church, we are called in the Bible God's people. And we have a lot of advantages being in the church, because that's where the Bible is. But outside throughout the church age, two-thirds approximately of the world knew nothing about the Bible, cared less about the Bible, and therefore we could say more wicked than those in the church. Well, not really. They were sinning against the law of God that was in their hearts, which was not nearly as detailed as it is in the Word of God, whereas those in the churches were sinning against the Word of God as it sets forth law after law after law. So he goes on in verse 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. Now, what city is that? You go back to Isaiah 26, verse 1. In Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. What is salvation a synonym for? The kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God. When we are saved, we are the kingdom of God. And that's the city that God has in view. We might also read this beautiful statement in Psalm 48. 48 verse 1, great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And and the whole chapter goes on talking about the greatness of the city of God, the kingdom of God. And this tying back now into Jeremiah 25, I begin to bring evil on a city that's called by my name. Now that isn't the city that is being talked about. That is, there are two aspects to that city. There is the external representation of it, which are the churches and congregations and national Israel in its day. And there is the eternal city. And of course, God's judgment doesn't come against the eternal city. It's against that which is externally representing the kingdom of God. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Jehovah of hosts. Therefore prophesy against them all these words, and say unto them, Jehovah shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Jehovah hath a controversy with the nations. That is, they are in rebellion against him. He will plead or bring judgment with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith Jehovah. Again, it's to the sword. It is, they're going to be killed. They're going to be dead forevermore. They'll rise no more. Thus even the Lord of saith Jehovah of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from one nation to a nation, from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of Jehovah shall be at that day from one end of earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. They will rise no more. They will. And that phrase of dung on the ground and relying on the open fields has to do with shame. They will be shame against the peoples of the world. Now we're going to finish this chapter in our next study, and then we're going to go back to Jeremiah 46, and we're going to be a lot more intelligent when we look at Jeremiah 46 than before we did this chapter, I hope, anyway.